Back here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN. We're talking with the Executive Director of the Governor's Military Council, that's General Perry Wiggins. And we are going to go to the phones now as we have someone waiting patiently with a question or a comment. It is Robert. Go ahead, Robert.
Thank you for widening our horizons on the desperate military situations that we don't understand or know anything about. I wanted to suggest to you that we need to expand the medical National Guard there in Topeka before we lose them to another 20-year-long war in the Middle East. Even if they can train the new designated National Guard people, not necessarily air medical, but just general medical, the stresses I'm seeing nationwide on this C-19, I have an 87-year-old grandmother who, in the area of the Florida-Georgia line, calls those area nursing stations, ICU nursing stations, on a daily basis from 7:30 in the morning to 7:30 at night to pray and cry with the nurses at the ICU nursing station. And, for instance, I take flowers around to the nurses on practically a daily basis. And Monday, going into what had been designated a former spreader center for the ICU, I mean for the C-19, 15 minutes before I got there with the flowers, the nurse ran out of there sick back to the family home. And all the rest of the people in there had the big eyeballs and worried and concerned. My idiot son, of course, in Phoenix, but out of state, has had the C-19 each of the 3 years we've had it. He's one of the Trump non-vaccine guys. And he, first year, he said it was to die for. The second year was just bad. And now this year is just like a bad cold. But non-quarantining and just the risk to us, I think, whether it's a flood or a tornado medical need, I think we need the medical group in Topeka at the Air Force base there expanded so that you and the governor can use them in these desperate situations that we're in. Thank you so much for your consideration.
Well, thank you, Robert. I will tell you right now that Governor Kelly's already got a portion of the Kansas National Guard that's assisting in the efforts here in the state with COVID-19. And so the National Guard throughout the nation has really stepped up and when called upon is responded to the needs of the nation and the needs of their communities. And Kansas is no different. And so I applaud the Kansas National Guard and their efforts. Major General Wishar is as the emergency manager for the state, dual-hatted, also the adjutant general, very, very connected with the situation here in the state and tied in with the governor as they respond to the COVID-19 environment. So thank you.
All right. Thanks for the call. The situation that's happening in Ukraine with Russia, we hear a lot about it on the news. I'm not sure that we all quite understand the ramifications of what's going on. Can you kind of give us a little bit of detail on as to what is transpiring over there?
Yeah, I'll do it real quickly because I know in the interest of time here, you know, this is nothing new. Not everybody's really talked about it, but 1991, when really Ukraine fell out from underneath the Soviet Union and kind of established itself as an independent country and really stood up, Russia was not happy because about 22% of the Ukraine population were ethnic Russians, which created some dynamics. You had Russia, which was moving toward democracy and really starting to expand and get more connected to the West, which really concerned Russia, that was losing control of really these federated states and a number of them becoming NATO nations, increased the anxiety, not just among Russia, but among those Russians that lived within the Ukraine and some of these other countries, even Crimea, as you remember, in 2014. Actually, Russia and the Ukraine's are at war since 2014. A lot of people don't remember Crimea, but the annexation of Crimea by the Russians was a significant emotional event in Ukraine. It's a, you know, where non-patched uniformed individuals literally took over Crimea, and the Russians basically went in. They co-opted the democracy or the democratic movement within Crimea to get them to adopt and become a part of the Russian Federation. So they actually coerced the democratic government within Crimea to accept the Russian Federation and by force. And that's what caused the Russian-Ukrainian war. So they've been at war. And they've been at war in different regions. Most of those regions are where the ethnic Russians live. And so now Russia is trying to prove a point by moving forces up to 135 to 150,000 Russian soldiers on the border of the Ukraine. And that's just brought it to a head here. And I think, to be honest with you, if you start reading behind the scenes, and this goes back to the people of Russia in Afghanistan, if you want to know why Russia pulled out of Afghanistan, it's because they could no longer secretly bring back Russian soldiers and body bags on trains and hide it from the Russian people. When they found out, they started to protest. The cost got too high, and they literally exited Afghanistan. You're starting to see now the undercurrents in Russia by a lot of individuals protesting the fact that Russia has got a buildup on the Ukrainian border. And these are Russians in Russia. I think Putin's going to have a lot of pressure on him. He's either going to have to go or he's going to have to stop what he's doing and pull out. So we'll see how it turns out. But this is not a new situation. It's something that's been ongoing. And I think the urgency for Putin is Ukraine's connection and closeness to European countries that are allied with NATO and their drive to become a part of NATO for protection.
Okay. Well, I think a lot of us would be happy to see Putin go. I mean, he's we know what Putin is, and Putin's not a good person.
Yeah, well, the only way we're going to get rid of Putin, in my opinion, it's only a belly button, of course, is to pressure the oligarchs. The rich individuals in Russia that became rich when the Soviet Union basically fell apart and they took control of the energy districts and the oil and everything else within Russia, they're uber rich. They don't live in Russia. Right now in the Russian winter, they're sitting over in England. They're sitting in France, the south of France. They're sitting on these mega yachts and other places. Where you can influence Putin is by influence the oligarchs. And if you could do that, you can stop everything he's doing.
All right. Well, something to watch here for sure. And I think people here need to be abreast of that. I'm sure we're going to have soldiers from Fort Riley, though, probably deploy over that area.
Well, I tell people all the time, you know, the fact that you don't see or hear a lot of things doesn't mean that it's not happening. We always work on readiness. We always work on preparation. So I can't speak for Fort Riley, but I can tell you, speaking from 34 years of military experience, when you got stuff like this going on, there are people who are rowing really hard to get up to date on the situation in that theater and to work on blowing off all the dust on their deployment criteria and getting all their equipment squared away in case they get called upon. And so you heard the president say there's 8,000 troops here in the United States that have been given a prepare to deploy order. Well, we've also got units already over in Europe that are on the ground that are probably on a heightened alert as well.
All right. Well, again, something to watch here going forward. And we've got just a couple minutes left here. Is there anything else you want to touch on before we go here?
No, I mean, you know, the bottom line, I would just tell people, and I've heard from a number of individuals here locally, that there's been the frequencies increased in hearing helicopters. I would just ask you to bear with the post and bear with the organizations out there, specifically the Combat Aviation Brigade, because that commander has a difficult task. He's been deployed for several months. They just got back on the ground. And once again, he's got to work on readiness. And that means getting young aviators that have arrived to the unit that need to get the flying hours and the training to fly at night and other environments. So you're going to hear a lot more helicopter traffic out there. just bear with it and understand that that's really one of the things as a community I applaud this region is our ability to support our military in their training. And we just need to make sure that everybody understands that these types of training periods ebb and flow. And for the helicopters, I'm sure for the next 3-4 months, there's going to be some intensive training trying to get these aviators ready to go.
Well, you know, I like helicopters. I always enjoy seeing them fly around, so not no bother to me here.
Well, I did get a call from somebody on I-70. It was driving on I-70 one time, mm-hmm. and they had the unmanned aerial vehicle, the Gray Eagle, looks like something out of Star Trek, was paralleling him. It was actually on the runway at Marshall Army Airfield, and he felt compelled to report that there was a missile going down the highway. So those types of calls happen, and people don't understand. I would ask people, don't get excited if you see those sort of things, and you always have an agency like the Governor's Military Council or the Post. They'll address your questions, but in 99.9% of the time, there's an explanation.
Yep.
And it's not, I guarantee there's not missiles flying off of Fort Riley. I just throw that out there because I thought it was comical, but to the person that experienced it, it was not.
Sure.
And so it was important to get that anxiety down.